B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
People think he's the guy because he won a Super Bowl, but if he's the right guy for the job going forward, I don't know. Because you have to be able to draft well. You can't just rely on wheeling and dealing and cut cap here, add cap there, whatever it might be, and being that salary cap wizard or that trade wizard. You have to be able to build a team from the draft, and I can't trust Howie right now to do that.
Is he really a wizard, considering he's been...
This year, no.
How about last year?
Last year was coming off a Super Bowl. I can't really fault him much for last year, but at least he made a trade to get Golden Tate, and his coaching staff couldn't figure out how to use him.
Just saying that you look at his record all the way through his tenure, and you see where he cannot draft, and that's the most important need on this team. How does that get fixed?
I don't know.
Well, when it comes to the drafting, it's not just Howie. Howie's not just sitting in the room
Who's
by
responsible?
Himself.
Who's responsible at the end of the day? Who's the GM?
I don't want
to hear. Okay, he has the final say.
Okay, if that's what you think. All right, cool.
It's not a matter of what I think. It's a matter of what it is. It's perception. It doesn't matter what the truth is.
Mike, you just summed up my approach to every single radio show I've ever done. Thank you.
That was awesome.
We need a clip of that. Mike in Virginia, thanks for the comment. I appreciate it.
That was great.
But he used a word.
Yes, what was that?
He used a word there that made me raise my eyebrows. He's not the guy that should be in charge of the rebuild. Are we talking close to that?
I know
it's a day after a game, bad loss, but if you really want to look, you know, long term and look big picture, is it getting close to a rebuild to a team that's the second oldest in the NFL?
Absolutely.
Who has wide receivers that a respected former general manager is saying, although it's going to be a huge cap hit, you got to get rid of the two of them.
Uh-huh. It doesn't have to be like a rebuild that's like drastic. You can do kind of what Seattle did where you still hang around in mediocrity and improve the team. But, I mean, I think we'd all be foolish to think they're going to be contenders next year.
Well, I think Andy Reid rebuilt the team before our eyes. I mean, he rebuilt it after Donovan. I mean, with DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy, and he made the transition from Cobb to Vic, and they had that great run in 2010, lost in the playoffs, unfortunately. But we saw a rebuild there, and it happened rather quickly.
Yeah, it's possible.
I think what you need to do is make sure you have receivers that can catch the football, and then you have a little bit of a different song and dance here.
I'm honestly, our first three picks next year, because I believe you have, what, two... Do you have 2 seconds next year, or is that two-thirds, two-fourths? Whatever it is.
Can't remember the top of my head.
You have to get near three contributors, and I want them all at the wide receiver and cornerback position.
All right, let's think about it.
Like, honestly, first three picks, just to get the three best of those positions.
In the very near future, you need to start making some drastic changes. And by near future, I mean like within the next couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 8 o'clock hours brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. But I can't imagine, and I've been saying this all morning, you can't continue to go down the road that you've gone down all season by saying there can't be, by making no drastic change. Somebody needs to be fired today. Somebody needs to be cut today. You need to make, if it's Mac Collins in the cut ring, then he's cut. If it's Mike Groh as an offensive coordinator, he's gone. If it's Carson Walsh as wide receiver coach, he's gone. If it's Corey Hundlin as your defensive back coach, he's gone. Something needs to happen that lets the locker room know, hey, all we need was cute and adorable 2 years ago. Now push is coming to shove. Do you really, if you're Howie Roseman or Doug Peterson, do you really want to go into next year with your starting quarterback beginning that $107.9 million contract having no playoff experience? Like that should be the push for this team right now. I know right now people are saying blow it up, rebuild, whatever it might be. But if you're a franchise that wants to take the rest of this year seriously, you have to make some kind of drastic change. Because you can't continue to tell your fan base, everything's fine. More importantly, you can't continue to tell your locker room, everything's fine. You need to do something. It's out of character by the Eagles. Absolutely, it's out of character. But right now, you have to make some kind of major change. You have to let people know that what you've been doing is not acceptable. A loss to the Dolphins is not acceptable when you had the world as your oyster, supposedly, towards the end of the season. Oh, easy schedule for us to the year. Yeah, not if you're a terrible football team. And that's what the Eagles looked like yesterday. A terrible football team. Nobody on that team wanted to win a game yesterday. They found multiple ways to lose it. And when that happens, ultimately it comes to the head coach. You look at a head coach that did not have his team prepared, a head coach did not call timeout before another gadget play to score a touchdown. Again, caught off guard. Ill-prepared. Not ready to play. And to have defensive backs turn around and look for a flag like Jalen Mills did yesterday, inexcusable. Mm-hmm. To get out, hustle. Like, you had Ronald Darby and Jalen Mills in position to make plays for you yesterday. It wasn't like they were blown off the ball. They just didn't have as much will as the wide receiver did to make the play.
I would say on average, the Eagles have been called for, over the last 10 games, 1.5 to 2 pass interference calls. Does that sound about right?
Sounds about right, yeah.
How many have been called against them? Meaning the other team's defense gets a pass interference. Why? Yeah. Because they have no damn playmakers.
Yeah.
Nobody's fooling the other team enough, the other team's defensive backs enough, that they have to resort to holding on or getting a pass interference call because they're just not that good. The play is, go out, sit down, I'll throw it to you, hopefully you catch it. Well, then it becomes a 50-50 ball, that's all. Our defender, the Eagles' defenders have to run, look to play, look to make a play. They can't do it. Mills stumbling yesterday in the end zone. Like, he looked like a drunken sailor just trying to get up for that ball. Like, they're always put in bad positions, yet the Eagles never put other teams in bad positions.
Yeah, the one in the stadium we all thought we were going to get, I think it was a 3rd and 5 play to Alshon, and they ended up calling offensive pass interference.
Yeah, they ended up calling it on that
on Aguilar, right.
And I thought it was Alshon, whoever it was, and I was just like...
I didn't really get that play. I must have missed something. Did they call an illegal pick or something?
Yeah, it was an illegal pick.
Nelson.
Was it
Nelson picked Alshon, guys.
Okay.
Yeah, he picked the guy.
I might have looked at the replay.
So
the
wrong to your
replay.
Point, they can't even get defensive pass interferences.
Yeah, right.
They get offensive pass interferences and still don't come up with the plays.
You know what? Now I'm not mad anymore. I'm impressed. I'm actually impressed.
You ate a whole wheel of cheese.
610-632-0975. People on Twitch not talking about the game anymore. People are saying, confirm, Mark has no lineage. Mark has no family. Hey, what's Mark's cousin's Instagram? Facebook? If she looks like Mark, I'm not interested. Thanks very much. You guys brought this circle back
on me. That's mean. I mean, if she's a freak, I'm still interested if she looks like you, if I'm, you know, one of those guys out there.
I'm told they all look the same. What?
I mean, I'm obviously, hey, I'm talking about other guys. You know, if they're into freaks. Like your cousin's husband is so happy to have.
A wise man once said, they all look the same when the lights are out. Alex, you're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Alex?
How are you?
Great.
Trey, I would like to tax you with finding out what was so hilarious in the fourth quarter that Carson was basically slapping his knee and having a great time down, I think at that point, 4 points on the sideline.
Yeah,
I thought it was
130, about 130, 150 left in the game, whatever, under 2 minutes, and he's on the sideline. They get a shot of him.
Yeah,
you know,
I noticed
smiling.
I don't know.
Sam Alu farted. He was dying. That's all I got.
Per reports. According to Adam Schefter, Sam Alu Pascal. I'm sorry, Alex. I wish I had more for you.
I'd like to give you guys a compliment with all the changes that took place at 1975. I wasn't in love at first, but you guys have definitely converted me, and I no longer think Bob is an old curmudgeon. He actually has a very vast knowledge, especially in basketball. So you guys are doing a great job.
Alex, we appreciate that. Thank you.
Real quick, the soundbite that Sam just had, Doug just said it's going to be an uphill battle. The only battle we should have had is Dallas, but I truly believe he's right. It is going to be an uphill battle to limp into the playoffs. I would be on board with losing out and hopefully, you know, getting a higher draft.
I'm not. Thanks again for the call. I appreciate it. I know that's a lot of people's the route a lot of people are going today. Just lose out. Look, I don't even want to think about tomorrow with this team. I'm too pissed off what happened yesterday. I'm not that type of guy. You guys know me. Everything's brighter side. You know, grass is greener, that kind of thing.
Did he just call me a curmudgeon?
He said he thought you were a curmudgeon.
Yeah, he's come around.
But you're
he's
not a curmudgeon around. Anymore.
Ah, I am the least curmudgeon-y person in the world. I'm a realist.
And Bob, I know... And Bob, I mean no offense to you whatsoever when I say this, but they did a whole thing on OK Boomer over the weekend on CBS Morning, whatever the hell it was, right? Sunday morning.
Ah, CBS Sunday morning.
My in-laws are still over.
I DVR it every weekend.
You would, actually.
It's positive.
No, he does.
I'm not surprised.
Saturday and Sunday morning. It's great. It's positive news. I like positive news.
A lot of times it is, but they did this big special on OK Boomer, and it was a Gen Xer that did the story.
Uh-huh.
And she was just like, you know, OK Boomer is not necessarily a bad thing. And I'm like, hey, go ahead, explain to me why that's not bad. And she was like, think about it. Millennials have been dumped on for like years now. And this is, OK Boomer is their revenge to, you know, being dumped on. Like, I'm a millennial. I had two jobs. Like, I'm not lazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing that they, OK Boomer is born out of. But it's mostly Gen Ys that use the OK Boomer, you know, hashtag, if you will. And it gets said in big, bold letters.
I don't know what circle I'm in.
You don't know what circle you're in.
Which category do I fall in?
You're a Gen X.
Gen X.
Because I think Gen X, because you were born prior to 1980.
Yeah. Trey and I are probably the same generation.
Yeah, you guys are probably Gen. But you got old parents, Bob.
I had old parents. They're not here anymore. So I don't think it counts.
This is where our sense of humor off the air leaks into our sense of humor on the air. And everyone's like, Bob just said his parents are dead. Mark's laughing. What the hell's wrong with those people?
Where's Bob's laughing?
Good times.
All right. So.
All right.
Back to your original point.
Oh, you got a real chortle over there out of Mark.
like we're real with people on the show. I'm literally crying and laughing here. I'm like, we're very real, but there's certain things that we say off air that we don't say on air because, you know, the general audience, and that was just a little glimpse into the extreme reality.
Mm-hmm.
Tim in Rochester, what's up there, buddy? Yo, Tim in Rochester, what's happening?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Where are you? Are you in a garage right now? Where are you at?
No, I'm at work.
Oh, there you go. Sound better.
Workers talking. I'm walking away from my supervisor, but he's cool. It's just the secondary. I keep Maddox and LeBlanc. The rest of them can go. And Bradham, he got to go. He looks slow out there, too.
Yeah, in the office, it's really bad.
In the offense, I think they'll be all right. Jeffries, I think he'll be good. He just needs to rest up. But I think he'll be all right. Deshaun will be back. Just draft cornerbacks and receivers. First five rounds, just draft them. And thank you.
Good number. Right. So here's the thing. You're going to be looking at what the last two. So if they go all receivers, tight end, whatever it might be going into this draft with their first three picks, does that mean the first three picks of the last three drafts have been offensive players? Dillard, Sanders, Arcega-Whiteside? Uh-huh. And then if you do it again this year? That's a lot of offensive investment.
There's a lot of stud wide receivers coming out.
You need to get probably two.
Yeah, two would be good.
Yeah.
Jinx on Twitch now telling me being a millennial doesn't guarantee being lazy. That being said, my generation sucks.
That being said, I'm going back to bed.
Oh, God, I'm exhausted after just typing that. Vinny in Runnymede, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, good morning, guys. So let's go drastic changes, right? So let's fire Doug and let's go get Mike McCarthy today. Get rid of Mike Rowe. Ken Whisenhunt, not that great, but he's better than Mike Rowe. Got a better resume. Let's see what they do for the rest of the season. See if the offensive line coach is coachable. To Trey's point, we're tipping off plays last week. We're predictable. You know, see if the cornerbacks coach is coachable. If not, let Mike McCarthy just blow the whole damn thing up and just do something. Because if we go back to last season,
good morning.
The factor is
good morning.
Doug Peterson. And we always say that, you know, it all comes back down to coaching. It all comes back down to coaching. So let's just get rid of them.
Yeah.
Screw it.
Vinny, tell that other person I said good morning.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm in the Army and I was coming on the base. So
no, all good, man.
Like, looking at my ID card and making sure I'm good to go.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, man.
And good morning to all on the base.
I appreciate the support. So, yeah, I say let's get rid of Dougie P. Let's go get Mike McCarthy. He's just hanging out, not doing anything. That dude's got a stellar resume. And, you know, get rid of Mike Rowe, bring in, I don't know, Ken Whisenhunt or somebody else. And see what happens. You know, maybe we can salvage the rest of this season.
Mm-hmm.
Let him see what the other coaching staffs can do. Maybe put a little more onus on them instead of saying, you know, oh, it's my fault. You can only say that for so long. Like, go do something.
Absolutely. Vinny, thanks for the call, man. Again, thanks for your service. Here's the thing. It's crazy to think about them firing a coordinator right now, but I do think it would make a lot of people happy.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it would send the biggest message to your locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And it might seem weird doing that after, 31 points yesterday?
Yeah.
But he's been a problem this whole year. Your offense has not improved with him as your offensive coordinator. He has not been a good influence. I know Deuce Daly is the head coach, the assistant head coach, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what influence he has. I think he would have more influence if he was actually running something other than the running backs. And I think he would be much better helping Doug call play. Because what is he doing as an assistant head coach? Because whenever I see that title, I always see a guy that gets a slight little pay raise, a little promotion, and a better title. That's it. Mm-hmm. I don't see them doing more. And from the people I talk to at NovaCare, there's nobody down there that's really seeing more from Deuce Daly. Do you see anything, Trey? Do you hear anything?
No, I don't. But as a coaching staff, when you're saying, all right, these are the plays that we're going to run, everybody's sitting in the meeting room together. And we're like, all right, you're watching film. You're seeing what the defense presents. And then you kind of come up with a game plan of what kind of runs you want to give them. If there are any trick plays that's been thought about that you want to implement. So the thing with what's going on is you have to have someone that can kind of help you with, all right, call a run here instead of it be just someone to kind of help you bounce ideas off of, because or even have someone in there that's pouring through other film to, like, if you want to run some different type of little niche plays and it presents to the room. But other than that, you have whatever your playbook is and there is no wiggle room in that. You know, this is what you're going to run. This is what you've been running all throughout the season. This is what you run when it's short yardage, goal line, if it's whatever the situation presents. And also, too, okay, this is how we're going to handle it. If it's a five down front or if it's a 3-4, if they're in nickel, this is what it is. And this is going to be our mic call or whatever. This is all the same stuff that you've been running the entire season. So I guess you just need someone to say, okay, let's get back to running a little bit more instead of just only having the 7 run plays. Hey, let's give us at least 3-4 more, maybe. Mm. Let's not, you know, or in this situation here, let's give a run a motion and then give something back. You know, you need somebody that can get in there and kind of help with some of the creativity of some of these plays.
Or God forbid a defensive coach, Jim Schwartz, goes over to Doug Peterson, the offensive coach. I know it's like, you know, right, oil and water. And says, hey, listen, I got to regroup my guys a little bit. Like, we got to figure out Fitzpatrick. Give me some time. Get a good long, ball control offense here. Let me regroup. Somebody has to get into his ear and say, look, we're running the ball at 5 yards a clip. Let's do that. Keep our defense off the field for a little while. More importantly, keep Fitzpatrick off the field for a little while and see what can go there.
I don't get it. It makes no sense. It's an obvious thing. When you see a quarterback leading the offense down the field for, like, what was it, like 8 or 9 consecutive scoring drives, you should give your defense a little bit of a break. Just a little bit of a break by running the football, especially when your passing game really isn't working for you either, and it's not like you're playing from far behind, especially in that third quarter and early fourth quarter.
You know, one of the things I heard, and I don't know if it's even true or not, but I just heard, like, at one point that when New England, Bill Belichick made his both coach staffs meet together and watch film together. So they break down the film together.
Oh, wow.
So it's like a meeting of the minds where you have both offense and defense in the same room and they're breaking down whatever film together. So as an offensive minded person, you might see something different for the defense, vice versa, to kind of help, you know, with putting together a plan. And, you know, maybe that's a different way to change it up. I don't know if that's what but I remember hearing something that's what he would do, would make his coaches meet together and break down the film together to kind of have that meeting of the minds. And so you can have those different ideas coming to the game plan.
Yeah, you would think the more eyes, the better. I mean, if you're in the same group and you're seeing the same things and you're both, you know, you get used to each other, you see the same things. That, like, when you were a coach, I mean, it surprised me when I first met you that you were telling me that you were on the defensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. But then after you explained it, it made total sense because you're seeing that defense every day. Mm-hmm. Now, why wouldn't you be on that side of it? I don't, whatever it is, it seems to be defense on this side, offense on this side, and they just do not communicate on game day.
It's a wild thing, especially when you look at something so simple that most fans will harp on a lot. You have a running back like Miles Sanders in the first half running the football 5.5 yards per carry almost, and you decide to totally abandon that in the second half. You run the ball 7 times in the second half, 12 in the first half, 19 times total in the game. But there's no excuse there.
No.
And you just invested how much money in the right side of your offensive line? And you chose to pass, 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 pass? Why not use those guys to let a playmaker, the only real big playmaker you have on this team, Miles Sanders, run wild? How do you not allow that to happen? It is unbelievable to me. And Doug's made this mistake in the past. How many times is he going to make it, correct it for a second or two, and then go right back to making the same mistake? And don't tell me against a team that's that terrible. 31st going into that game yesterday in run defense.
Oh.
And you just, I mean, they were bottom three in like every statistical category defensively. And you mean to tell me you can't put up better numbers than you did yesterday? Hey, look, 31 points, that looks adorable. But there are key moments in this game that you could have extended drives by using one of your biggest playmakers, and you chose not to. It's embarrassing. Nas in Southwest Philly, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, man.
I wanted to talk about Frank Reich. I think Frank Reich is somebody that Philadelphia misses so much. And it feels like really something about this. It's like the guy went to Indiana, turned Jacoby Brissett into what he is right now. They're winning games sometimes, winning games. But it looks like their offense is continuously going. But our offense just seems like they're regressing every single week. And they just stoop down to their competition. It seems like every week, the worse the competition gets, they get worse. Mm-hmm. And with this, it's just like they have to get rid of every single thing that's going on with the receivers. Alshon got to go. Nelson got to go. Keep the tight ends. And there's so many studs coming out of this draft. It's like, I don't know how you miss. It's like Mecole Hardman last year. You missed on that.
Yeah.
You know? There's so many scouts out there. How do you pay people millions of dollars every single year and you do not scout the right players? And you have J.J. Arcega Whiteside. Come on, Doug.
It shouldn't have taken this long. It should not have taken this long to get your first receiving touchdown in this offense with that quarterback, especially when all the injuries have happened on the at the wide receiver position. And not just the injuries, but there's been poor play throughout the wide receiver position this year. And it took you that long as a second-round pick to have an impact on this offense.
Well, that's more on Carson Welch.
The wide receiver's
coach. Yes. Yeah, I think that's more on him.
How was a second-round pick, though, not more NFL-ready?
Well, in fairness, the Chiefs did trade up to get Mecole Hardman the spot before us.
Okay.
So
I wasn't sure the draft. Yeah,
Arcega Whiteside was taking the pick after Mecole Hardman.
And
I hear
Metcalf
you.
Metcalf was after both of them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Hardman would have been awesome, but in the quality of fairness here.
I'm watching that Chiefs game yesterday, and the way I think it was Nansen and Tony Romo, but they're talking about Hardman. And they're like, yeah, another one of those speeches that Kansas City just seems to gobble up all the time. All right, they have a plan, and they implement it.
I think they knew that the Eagles probably had eyes for him and probably traded up to go get him.
Hey, man, I think he is so slow off the ball.
Yep.
Now, I was talking to Jason Vine. He said that I think he ran a 4.5, 4.4.
Huh?
Like, I don't know, 4.5, 4.6.
With
they
a broken
say he
stopwatch?
Has some speed, but you have to get going.
Yeah.
You know, he's like one of those things. He's very slow off the line. He's not explosive.
610-632-0975. Coming up, we're going to speak to Donovan McNabb about this loss. See how he evaluates Carson Wentz's performance. More importantly here, Doug Peterson's performance and playing down to your opponent. We'll talk to Donovan about that coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, joining us in just a moment, Donovan McNabb. And who brings this Mr. Donovan McNabb there, Sam Wilson?
Add more excitement to your football season by wagering, viewing, and cheering on your favorite teams from Atlantic City's largest sports book at the Wild Wild West at Bally's. Visit Bally'sAC.com for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now, I'll say this. Donovan has talked about Carson Wentz's performance all year long. Man, need some help. Need to run the football. Establish some short throws. Get him in that rhythm. Donovan's told us that all year. The second thing he's told us the most, probably, is don't line up on the bridge just yet. Let's see if he can get people off that bridge in a safe way. Donovan, how are you this morning?
I'm doing outstanding. Hey, I'm not close to the bridge, but
that's true.
I don't know if anybody, I can speak for anyone else at this particular point. But you know what? you watch this football game, and it's a tale of two halves pretty much. And in the first half, I was actually still wondering about the offensive line because they were getting too much pressure on Carson. We seemed like we couldn't get any separation from the wide receiver position. At one point, for at least a 7-8 minute deal, it seemed like Alshon Jeffries wasn't even out on the field. And then they tried to get him involved a little bit. Zach Ertz wasn't involved as I expected him to. And I think it all just kind of impaled on him in the second half. And, you know, remember we talked about last week, we were talking about the defense was playing better. And I said, well, we've been playing some mediocre offenses, so it's hard to evaluate them. Well, I guess in the second half, we played against an offense that those kids are just scrappies and they're playing for their jobs. And I don't know what it was, but we just couldn't seem to stop them or their special teams.
When you talk about the offenses of the Patriots and the Seahawks, it's not what they've been of old, but they're still led by guys that are MVP candidates almost every year. So that's why it was a little surprising to see them play at least halfway decent against Brady, play decent against Russell Wilson. And then they lose to Ryan Fitzpatrick, and not just lose, but the defense just gets, the defense itself got blown out yesterday. How does that work with the defense being able to at least hold their own against names like that and then just totally bungle it against a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Well, wait a minute. You saying that Fitzmagic isn't up there with the Russell Wilson and Tom Brady?
Is that a hot take?
The bearded man?
Is that a hot take,
he's
Donovan? I'm sorry.
Team in the league. Yeah, he's been with every team in the league.
Yeah.
Listen, I look at it in a sense, not as who's the quarterback, but you also have to look in the sense of the team that you're playing. And their energy level, no matter what their record is, you have to give them credit for what they've been doing thus far. I mean, every game that they play, at least in the last 7 weeks, it's been a battle. Mm-hmm. I mean, they go and beat the Indianapolis Colts in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
They've been competing against the Pittsburgh Steelers, no matter who's at the quarterback position, but it's still the team.
Sure, but Donovan, should the Eagles have lost that game yesterday?
No, they should not have lost that game. They shouldn't have lost the last game. This is the thing. When you don't have an identity and you're still scratching the surface to just try to breathe, you know, you're not going to make it. Like, no matter how you look at it, it's panic that's going on outside of the locker room. And I'm sure there's panic that's trickling inside the locker room at this particular point. You had everything set up the last couple weeks of the season of playing against teams that have only had 2 wins compared to a team that has all the talent but can't seem to put it together. And they have to play the Rams. Then they got to play you on the last game. They got to play the Bears. They had to play the Buffalo Bills. Everything was set up for you to be able to really just kind of write your own destiny. And at this particular point, you got to wonder, like, what's next? Because do you think something miraculous is going to happen? Or is it just going to, the momentum's going to shift? Because listen, and I'm going to sit here and be the first to tell you, and Trey will probably speak on this. In 2009, we might have felt the same way after the Baltimore game. And then we end up playing the Cardinals a couple days later on Thanksgiving, I believe. And then from that point on, our momentum took us through to the NFC Championship. I can't say the same thing about this football team.
Mm-hmm. That their energy level just isn't going to match.
I don't think it's going to match because at the end of the day, the talent has to step up. You know, so you look at the key players on that particular football team. You bring Alshon Jeffries back, Lane Johnson comes back, Aguilar comes back, Carson Wentz has his guys back. So now all of a sudden we want to look at Carson because he has his guys on the defensive end. Darby's back out there. You know, Mills is out there. You have your guy Fletcher Cox is out there. But at what point are at least 3 of them going to step up where now they become the elite players to carry this team? And we can't say that has particularly happened, you know, when they've all been out there.
So you think it's more of a leadership thing when it comes to this team? Or what, you know, because what's
production, Trey?
Huh?
I think it's production. I don't know if it's leadership because, you know, they got about, what, 5-6 captains, man, from the picture that I've seen. The Harlem dudes walked out there at midfield. But they have leadership because they have guys who understand what it takes to get there when they went to the Super Bowl. So I think it's just production. At this particular point, they've given up too many explosive plays, at least in the last 5 weeks. You know, not discounting, you know, when our guys were hurt, but in the last 5 weeks, you've given up too many explosive plays on the defensive end. On the offensive end, it seems like we sputter when the time is not the sputter. You know, somebody's not open, so now Carson got to try to run and try to make something happen. He's taking some shots back there in that backfield. And so I just think, yeah, Miles Sanders is a spark and a you know, one that you kind of plug in and kind of, oh, we've got something. But then losing Jordan Howard hurt. I don't care what nobody say. Jay Ajayi coming back. I mean, that's just like me and you coming off the street, coming to provide a little bit of something. But you need Jordan Howard out there.
Yeah, you do. Now, how do you explain, though, going into the second half, they only call 7 run plays after coming out of the second half when you're up by at least a touchdown?
And you're playing against a defense that can't stop the run?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are the questions that we ask, and I'm sure those are the questions probably that everybody on the outside is trying to figure out. But at this particular point, this is the way it's been all year. And it seemed like, I don't know if it's so much as trying to showcase Carson or for him to regain his confidence, but at this point, it's not working.
Donovan, how about sticking with what wins? How about sticking with what works? Like, in the first
half... Well, what wins? Well, you only got 5 of them.
Well put. But what works is running the football. It certainly worked against this team in the first half. You were running the ball almost 5.5 yards per carry with Miles Sanders. He only ran the ball, I believe, 4 times in the second half. Mm. That doesn't seem like it makes much sense.
Well, it doesn't. But again, you got to look at it. I look at it in a sense that, is Miles Sanders a true 3-down back? No, he's not. He's more of a 3rd-down specialist kind of player.
Uh-huh.
And that's how Westbrook was in his rookie year. We had Deuce. Deuce is our horse. And when Westbrook came in the game, we could do a lot of different things. But when you use him as a featured back, like you're using Sanders, do you get the same type of reduction running the football? No. I don't think they wanted to pound Sanders in there giving him the ball 17 to 20 times a game. Mm-hmm. He's not ready for that, I don't think.
Well, he could
especially
be
in between the tackles.
Lack of options right now, though.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, Trey? Like, that's just not his forte right now. He hasn't learned that part of the game yet. So I just think right now, man, and we've talked about this for the last 11 weeks or so, it just feels like we're repeating ourselves. They have no identity. When they do run the ball and be productive, they get away from it. When all of a sudden they want to go bombs away and don't have guys who can create separation downfield, they leave the intermediate passing game alone and don't mess with it. Teams kill us with the intermediate passing game, and then all of a sudden explosive play happens. You have to set up big plays to happen in order for your offense to open up. You just can't come out and be bombs away. They don't have the type of talent on the outside to do that.
One of the things we talked about earlier is with that the field goal where they came up there and ran the fake formation. Yep. With the funky field goal. Did it look like they even practiced that at all?
You know what's funny, Trey? We've seen that when we was playing.
Uh-huh.
And it's confusing to a defense, but the thing that's confusing, who would have expected the little dude to run out there and be wide open? Like, that dude looked like he was my son's size out there, man. Like, but you know what? It was created by a team that had nothing to lose. They had nothing to lose and everything to gain. And so when they decided to run it, I thought, oh, that was dumb. And my man peeled away from the receiver, which makes it unfair now because it's kind of like, oh, man. And then you think, okay, what's the conversation on the sideline? The conversation on the sideline has to be, hey, listen, we better pick this thing up or we're going to end up losing this game. Or is everybody just like, oh, well, it's just Miami. We'll be fine.
Yeah, why didn't they call a timeout there?
Questions that we ask. Like, it's confusing to me watching it where I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. And then they just let it run.
Mm-hmm. Donovan, can the Eagles offense take over that what do we have to lose mentality now? I mean, obviously pressure's on, but it's the same thing week after week after week after week, and there doesn't seem to be many adjustments. Can they just have a more of a free will in offense at this point of the season?
Well, you don't want to do that because you still have, for some reason, I mean, this is crazy, but you still have a chance. And so you have to kind of stay the course and expect with your guys being healthy now for the second week and have them all back, hopefully, that it'll be able to elevate. I mean, you're playing a team that's still trying, they don't even know what uniforms they look like they wearing. So I just think for the Philadelphia Eagles, when you go into this game, you got to go in like you want to just purely dominate this team. Don't even give them a breath of fresh air. and just try to set a statement, because what's that going to do for you mentally? It's going to give you the confidence going forward. But you got to look at the other side of it, too. The Dallas Cowboys at this point, what, they got the Chicago Bears. We've been talking about Mitch Trubisky for the longest at this particular point. He had a good game last week. What are they going to do? So if they end up losing that game against the Bears, then all of a sudden we win this game here coming up. I mean, we're still talking about the last game of the year, if the Eagles get in or not.
Yeah, the only problem is that we're talking about this team that just lost to the Dolphins, that we thought were a 2-9 team going into this one, and you were a 5-win team going into this one, and you still leave Miami with that same win total. So I can't look at the Eagles and go, oh, they got this. What's the difference?
What's the difference?
They suck worse than I thought they did.
Well, I mean, we can say the same thing about our football team.
I just said that about our football team. That's what I'm talking about. They're worse than the Dolphins.
Well, this is the thing. For us, I mean, I look at it in the sense, I don't think that we purely suck like that. I mean, yeah, we're not the Baltimore Ravens, or, you know, we're not killing it like statistically like Dallas in the passing game or whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, all you need to do is get in the playoffs. Find a way to get in the playoffs. Now, it's sexy and everybody gets excited. Yeah, you got 10, 11, 12, 13 wins. That's fine. But if you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. And at this particular point, I can't say that there's pure confidence around Philadelphia, New Jersey, Delaware, that they can say, we're going to get in anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think for the Philadelphia Eagles at this particular point, you got to just truly focus on this week and nothing else. Focus on this week and come out and be dominant in the game. No matter what Dallas ends up doing, you have to be dominant, and you have to set the tone. If you get in or not at the end of it all, it doesn't matter. Finish this season out the right way.
Donovan, what do you make of Doug Peterson as a play caller?
I'm not here to come down on Doug or any of the guys. I just think at this particular point, he's kind of got his hands tied behind his back due to injuries that's happened. And I think they haven't created an identity early. And to me, it seemed like everything that they were trying to push and promote early on was Carson. Carson being healthy, he's back. You know, because think about it, all on their Twitter pages and everything else, all you see is Carson. It's Wednesday.
Right.
It's with, you know, so it's, they were trying to push, you know, because people were talking about Carson being up for the MVP in the beginning of the season. So it wasn't that you brought Jordan Howard in, because from what I understand, they weren't happy with Jordan Howard. They were looking to trade Jordan Howard at the beginning. That's the rumor that I heard.
Yeah, a lot of people were talking about Melvin Gordon was the name he was tied to. But as far as to go back to Doug for a second, you would agree that some of his play calling here has been suspect this year.
I just think the production has been suspect.
Yeah.
I think the production has been suspect. And it was easy to kind of pinpoint, you know, coaches or whatever. Listen, at the end of the day, you got to go out and play and make plays. And the production has been off. We already talked about the drops weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Talking about the drops in the game. That's production. That ain't got nothing to do with the coach.
Is there any major change?
You're an NFL player.
Is there any major change? Is there any major change you'd make to maybe get the attention of the rest of that locker room to make sure that they're identifying themselves as a team that can win?
Man, at this particular point, I said it 4 weeks ago. If you ain't looking in the mirror and asking yourself, am I the problem, or what am I doing wrong, and how can I correct it individually? I think it seemed like everybody just kind of like, oh, we're good. Like, it's not me. You know, it's not the finger point deal, but you need to take ownership of your mistake. And I don't know if they're doing that.
Like, if you had to fire or cut someone, who would you suggest on this squad right now?
To fire somebody?
Yeah. Like, if you had to go ahead and make a drastic decision to open the eyes in this locker room as far as making a fire or cutting someone, like, who would you look at?
I don't know if I could fire anybody, to be honest with you. I couldn't cut anybody, because you need all the guys that you have out there and the guys that's coming in off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
We can look at the receivers, we can look at whoever, but at the end of the day, man, you play college football, you know how to catch. You know, you play your offensive line, you know how to block. What's the problem? Because at the end of the day, if they don't make it, it's gonna settle itself at the end of the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Either you lose your spot or you're going to be competing.
What if it's to fire the offensive coordinator and make you the offensive coordinator? Would you be in favor then? I don't want to start any rumors.
I don't want no parts of this. I'm good. I know what I do. I know what I call it in here on Monday, man. You know, but I look at it in a sense for this, you know, for every team that seems to be going through this. And these are the dog weeks, because You want to make sure you're going into the playoffs if you happen to make it with momentum and fire. Like, we've been, that was our MO. Toward the end of the year, oh, listen, we felt like we were unstoppable going into the playoffs. That's why we always win the second round of NFC Championship. You just can't sneak into the playoffs and think you're going to come in quietly. Mm-hmm. Teams are going to try to knock your block off.
You mentioned 2009. You guys were 11-5 that year, but I also remember the year before, 2008, when you guys went to the conference championship in Arizona. You guys kind of rallied later in that season. As a leader of a team, Donovan, what do you have to do to go in that locker room? Because you mentioned they have leaders. What do you have to do, say, do, whatever it might be in that locker room to try to rally this team to make a push, you know, in the last couple of weeks?
You know, this is the thing that everybody hears, and then I was like, oh, here we go. It's the player-only meetings. When you have the player-only meetings and you just kind of be honest, you be honest, you say, listen, I haven't been playing as well as I need to, but I'm going to do whatever it takes in order for us to change this thing around. And if everybody has that mentality, when they're putting in that extra work and extra time, and then it kind of translates out on the practice field, then you go to the game and all of a sudden you see that, that's going to continue to elevate week in and week out. And at this particular point, I mean, in my last year there in Philadelphia, which, you know, I still think is garbage, but however it kind of landed. But we end up losing to Dallas in that last game.
Yes.
In the last game. Remember that?
Yes, of course.
And then we played Dallas the next week.
Yeah, in the playoffs.
We didn't have momentum going in. That last game would have been so big because if we would have won that game, we would have had a bye and we would have been playing the second round,
mm-hmm.
which that would have been different than us just kind of creeping in. You know, we had 10 wins. What do we have? 10. We were 10-6 that year, I think. And we lost that last game. This is something that can't happen here in Philadelphia. It can't happen where all of a sudden you just kind of creep in, then you end up dropping at the end. They got to finish this thing out the right way.
All right. Would it be better to, you always say get in the tournament, but real quick, better to make the playoffs, I assume, or better just to get the better draft pick?
It's better to make the playoffs.
That's what I thought. I know we're up against it, Donovan. And I always appreciate you coming on. You're breaking it down great for us this season. I look forward to talking to you, you know, next week if you're not the Eagles offensive coordinator.
No problem. We'll keep the bungee cords away from the bridge.
You got it.
We don't need nobody, you know, going back and forth.
Good enough, Donovan. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right, brother. Take care, man.
All right.
You think someone will just hear the end of that and go, oh, wow, Donovan's up for offensive coordinator. Go for
it. He's a nut.
Did you notice, you know, a lot of people, oh, McNabb's bitter, he hates us. Did you notice he's still a wee guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. Must really hate them.
I think it's Trey. Trey brings out the wee. Trey brings out the wee in him. And when you went with the fire question, I didn't think he'd go in that direction, and he didn't.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, no, somebody needs to roll. Someone needs to be gone. Because every step of the way, it's been my point all morning, you can't continue to tell this team everything they're doing is fine.
So Peterson talks at 12. If you're going to do something, you wait until after he speaks, I would guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that way he doesn't have to speak on it.
Yeah, that way. Well, wait, hold on. Monday. Oh, no, they'll practice today, so.
No, they don't practice today.
Yeah, exactly.
They're off today.
Yeah.
Well, I was also interested in they didn't practice on Thanksgiving. They were given the day off.
That's coaches awesome. Were in.
I threw a football around on Thanksgiving with my wife's family.
Was this team deserving of a day off?
I never had Thanksgiving off.
What?
I didn't.
We never had Thanksgiving off.
I was trying not to make too much of it, Trey. That's a joke.
We never had Thanksgiving off.
Nor should this team have.
You get in early and try to get out early, yeah, but you get your work.
You can get out by noon.
Early,
right.
But we never had Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
never.
I remember that.
You also had two-a-days.
Yes.
And you also went to Lehigh.
Yes.
All right.
Suck.
My thanks to Brad Feinberg for joining us earlier today. My thanks to Donovan McNabb for joining us. Sam Wilson, we need to do a Twitter poll because we didn't want to poke the bear more than we already did today. But who would have brought us that fine Twitter poll?
Window Nation, take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Sam Wilson, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is go Sixers. That's all I got.
Thank you. Jamie Lynch, fresh off a plane from Miami.
Go Birds.
Wow, you don't mean that.
No.
Bob Cooney.
Stick around for Midday Show. I'm filling in for Anthony Gargano today.
You and Barrett Brooks are taking over the Anthony Gargano show today. Anthony making his way back from Miami, I believe. Trey Thomas.
I think a white side, plus 800. I think a white side, try to tell you.
My takeaway of the day for a 17th time this morning, I'll say it again. I'll say it again and again and again. You cannot continue to accept what's been going on in this football team. You cannot continue to tell the fan base. You cannot continue to tell the locker room that everything they're doing is fine. You need to make a change, whether it's a coaching change on the staff, wide receiver, secondary, offensive coordinator, whatever it might be, make the change. If it's cutting somebody, make the change. You're not going to go into the playoffs with this attitude for the rest of the season. Stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano Show, hosted by Bob Cooney and Barrett Brooks, coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.